It's Cole and Company, the Cedar Valley's maximum sports talk show.
If you don't love it, leave it.
Afternoons from 5 to 6 on 1650 The Fan.
A little bouncer slowly toward Bryant. He will glove it, throw to Rizzo. It's in time. And the Chicago Cubs win the World Series.
At 102.3 FM.
Cyclones won't foul. Cousins just dribbles out the clock. And Iowa State has knocked off the number one team in the country, Oklahoma.
On the 1650 The Fan app.
Farouk Benesh on three.
Good! You can't be serious with that shot.
And streaming online at 1650thefan.com.
This is what's great about sports. This is what the greatest thing about sports is.
You play to win the game.
Hello? You play to win the game.
And now, here's your host.
I know I'm smarter than that son of a bitch.
Colbert.
Well, hello there. Good afternoon. Welcome in. I am your host, Colbert. This is a Wednesday edition of the show. Back from some time off around the Independence Day holiday. Recharged, ready to go. And like usual, have a show lined up that I'm very excited about. We'll get you the details here in just a little bit. Hope all of you had an outstanding Independence Day holiday weekend, if we can call it that, with the 4th, of course, landing yesterday on a Tuesday. But you know what I'm not going to do that I'm sure, whether it's sports or news talk, that a lot of radio hosts are talking about today, or at least they're riffing about, and that is fireworks. I was on Twitter enough while I was on vacation to see the opinions one way or the other about fireworks. So that's just not somewhere I'm going to go today. We're going to stay sports centric for the most part today on the show. So however you are tuned in, whether it's 1650 AM, 102.3 FM, on our mobile app, on your smart speaker, or streaming online at 1650thefan.com. Thank you so much for being here. I hope you're having an outstanding Wednesday. Make sure you follow us on Twitter at 1650KCNZ. I'm on Twitter at RealColeBert. Like the Facebook page. If you're on the Zuckerberg machine, type in 1650 The Fan. You'll find us. Just hammer that like button. You'll be all set and ready to go. Make sure you bookmark that website. Not only do you get the stream there for all of our great content in terms of what's on air, but also you get a lot of great content in terms of local, statewide, national sports, audio on demand, podcasts of this show, so on and so forth. It's all right there. Make it a regular stop for yourself on a daily basis on the World Wide Web. Bookmark it, 1650thefan.com. Save the number in your phone, 319-277-1918, if you ever want to call in with any questions or comments for the program, 319-277-1918, or you can dial 800-913-9479, or you can email the show, email address, questions, comments. Maybe there's someone or something you'd like to hear from or about on a future show. By all means, fire away. Email address, Cole at 1650thefan.com. Just know if you email me, I might read it on the show. Try to keep the profanities to a minimum. All right, coming up today on the show, we'll get to area sports news and scores here in just a little bit. Plenty in the stack like usual. We've got postseason high school baseball and softball continuing tonight. We'll get you details on that and a whole lot more. After we're done there, we'll take timeout number one, get you a national sports update, a VSiN action update from Brent Musburger and the guys in Vegas. So if you want to put a shekel or two down tonight on the Cubs-Brewers game, which of course you can hear right here on The Fan, or anything else that's hip happening in sports, the guys out in Vegas will take care of you. We'll also get you a forecast in that first break from Megan Mulford for the rest of this Wednesday, looking into tomorrow and Friday. We'll come back from that first break, and we'll be joined by our friend Sean Keeler, Denver Post sports reporter and columnist. You follow him on Twitter, at Sean Keeler, S-E-A-N-K-E-E-L-E-R. And like usual, when Sean joins, We're just going to dive into everything that's trending on the national sports scene. I want to talk a good amount of Major League Baseball with Sean. There's a lot to be said right now about Shohei Ohtani getting hurt. It's not a serious injury, but he's not going to be in the Major League Baseball All-Star game as a result of this. Mike Trout broke his hamate bone in his wrist, which is, for anybody out there who knows baseball well, that is like as baseball of an injury as it gets. So he should be back, but I think it's like a 4 to 6 weeks kind of thing, 6 to 8 weeks. So you're talking a month and a half at least, and the Angels are falling back toward 500. And this is obviously all under the cloud of Shohei Ohtani, the greatest player in the game, and what certainly looks to be perhaps the greatest player to ever play Major League Baseball. Who's doing what Shohei Ohtani has done? I mean, Brian Weber filling in for Rich Eisen over the past 3 hours here and there, touching on Shohei Ohtani's greatness. And if it was, if baseball had the exposure, the audience that the National Football League had, this guy would be, he would just be the biggest star in the world. It makes me think about like a Lionel Messi, right? The soccer stars, Cristiano Ronaldo, a couple of those guys there that are just larger than life, you know, everywhere basically but the United States. Like they're famous in the United States, but if, for instance, Major League Baseball had the audience that soccer did globally, I mean, there'd just be no question. It'd be like if Lionel Messi could play the first half, score a goal, have an assist, and then go and play goalie in the second half of a match and have a few saves and hold a team scoreless and do it on a regular basis. Like, it's just remarkable what Ohtani's doing, to say the least, or what he's done. And now he's hurt, and Mike Trout's hurt, and the Angels are falling back to 500. And so not only is there a big loss for Major League Baseball by not having Ohtani being able to play in this All-Star game, but I'm beginning to wonder if the Angels are just cursed. I really am. As someone who's a Cubs fan, I know about curses. It seems to me like they're cursed. Like, they have, by far and away, two of the best players in baseball, two future Hall of Famers in Shohei Ohtani and Mike Trout, and they still cannot make the playoffs. I get the impression they're not going to make it again this year because of the Trout injury, because of Ohtani being, you know, having a little injury here. I think it's a blister on his finger, on his pitching hand, but thought that was pretty. We'll talk about it with Sean Keeler when he joins us in the next segment of today's show. After we're done talking with Sean, we'll take a timeout near the bottom of the hour. Get your Radio Iowa Sports with Todd Kim during that timeout. Come back in the third segment, and we'll talk even more baseball. We'll do it locally, though, as Wapsie Valley High School baseball coach Tom Jakin will join the show. The Warriors have a Substate 3 District 6 quarterfinal at home against Janesville tonight, and this is a coin flip game. Janesville beat Wapsie Valley less than a week ago, 7-4. However, on paper, you look at the body of work from the entire season, Wapsie Valley would be the favorite on that paper tonight. So something's got to give. And Coach Jakin will join us and tell us about his Warriors, everything they accomplished in a highly successful regular season, and what it's going to take tonight to get a win against Janesville. After we're done there, we'll take the final timeout, get you an NFL Network update, Dan Patrick's Above the Noise commentary, then come back for a final time and wrap up the show. You know, and talking a little bit about Shohei Ohtani and the Angels. Another thing I plan on bringing up with Sean Keeler when he joins us in the next segment. Just wanted to bring this up before I hopped into area sports news and scores. Saw this tweet while I was on vacation, and if I ever see something that's really good, I'll direct message it to myself so I don't forget it. Somebody had said something that, like, Twitter had finally added bookmarks, like Instagram has bookmarks. And then you just go into a library where it's all the stuff you thought was interesting that you saved as a bookmark, right? But I haven't seen that yet. I don't know. I guess I probably should check and see if I can update my app. But I will say this, though, and I am proud. I know for anybody who's dug in on Twitter, there's this rate limit thing. And, I mean, it's a wormhole to go down. But I have not hit my rate limit. So I feel mildly healthy about my social media habits because of the amount of people I have seen tweeting about how they've hit their rate limit. So be that as it may, this tweet that I had seen over the weekend, it had the percentage of Major League Baseball games that last 3 or more hours, 9-inning Major League Baseball games lasting 3 or more hours. And it started in the 2002 season and went all the way through this season, 2023. So, for example, 2002, the first year, 35% of Major League Baseball games that went 9 innings in 2002, 35% of them went 3 or more hours. Of 9-inning Major League Baseball games, 35% were 3 or more hours in the year 2002. Between 2002 and 2023, that number bottomed out. A year later in 2003, when 24% of Major League games lasted 3 or more hours, and it didn't get back above 27% until the 2007 season when it was 34%. However, as the years go on, it steadily increases almost in a linear fashion, and you get to 2017, the number is all the way up to 59% of Major League Baseball games lasting 3 or more hours. Yeah, 59% in 2017. In 2021, just two seasons ago, that number was 67%. Nearly 7 out of 10 Major League Baseball games two seasons ago lasted 3 or more hours. Now, of course, as we've talked plenty on this show about what the pitch clock and some of these pace of play initiatives are meaning and could mean long term for the game, a game whose audience was aging out in a what looked to be a devastating way in terms of a long-term outlook for Major League Baseball and its popularity. With the pitch clock and pace of play initiatives in place this season, remember I said 67% of Major League Baseball games just two seasons ago lasted 3 or more hours. You know how many Major League Baseball games are lasting 3 or more hours this season? 9%. 9%. That's insane. And I have loved it. And I'll continue to say that. And I'm interested to see what Sean Keeler has to say in response to bringing him this information. Knowing Sean, he may well know it already. But I thought that was fascinating to see that number there. And Theo Epstein was really the brain behind putting this stuff in. It was not Rob Manfred. He cannot take credit for it. It's Theo Epstein, the former Red Sox and Cubs GM and president. This guy breaks the Red Sox curse. He breaks the Cubs curse. And now he may be saving baseball. That's your next commissioner, everybody. Let us pray anyways. And sooner the better. But there you have it. A little interesting stuff there for you. All right, let's dive right in here. Area sports news and scores for your Wednesday. The high school softball postseason continues tonight. Class 1A and 2A regional quarterfinal games are taking place, and in a game involving a Metro team, Waterloo Columbus plays host to North Iowa Cedar League rival Dyke New Hartford. All these games begin at 7 tonight. 3A, 4A, and 5A first-round regional action gets underway tomorrow, and among Metro teams, Cedar Falls will play host to Waterloo East tomorrow night. High school baseball postseason also continuing tonight with Class 1A and 2A district quarterfinals. And among Metro teams, Waterloo Columbus plays host to Comanche. 3A and 4A sub-state games get started on Friday. The Iowa High School Baseball Coaches Association has released its final Class 3A and 4A rankings. Ankeny Centennial finishes the year as the top-ranked school in 4A. Western Dubuque does the same in 3A. One area team in the 4A rankings, Cedar Falls, finishes at number 10. Final Class 1A and 2A rankings came out last week. For complete rankings, visit 1650thefan.com. The UNI men's basketball team received a verbal commitment from one of the top players in the state from the class of 2024, Reddick Bourne, a 6'3 guard from Norwalk, announced on social media that he's going to play for the Panthers. He is the younger brother of current Panther Bowen Bourne, who led the Panthers in scoring last season. Last year as a junior at Norwalk, Reddick averaged 18.6 points, 5.5 rebounds, and 4.9 assists per game, shot 50% from the floor, 40% from three, and was named a Class 4A's All-State First Team. The John Deere Classic gets underway tomorrow in Silvis, Illinois, and University of Iowa women's basketball All-American Caitlin Clark, the major attraction today at TPC Deer Run. She was invited to play in the Pro-Am with fellow Iowa native Zach Johnson, the winner of the 2012 John Deere Classic and current Ryder Cup captain. She took the tee earlier today on the 10th hole, played the final nine holes, and the crowds, as you might expect, were massive. The Wartburg baseball team has announced the addition of three new members to its staff. Tyler Willis has been named assistant coach. Dylan Gatto has been named co-pitching coach. And Hunter Destifel has been named catching coach. Last month, Wartburg announced that they had hired Casey Klunder to be the new coach for the Knights. Klunder had spent the last two seasons at Simpson after a long, successful career at Waverly-Shellrock High School. Willis is joining the staff after spending the last two seasons as an assistant coach at Simpson College. Gatto returns to Wartburg after spending the past year playing professionally for Idaho Falls in the Pioneer League. He's Wartburg's all-time leader in strikeouts. And finally, Hunter Destival comes to Wartburg after spending last season as a grad assistant at Upper Iowa. He is a graduate of Waverly-Shellrock. The Waterloo Bucks opened second half play in the Northwoods League with a 7-6 win at home over Mankato last night. Waterloo finishes that series against the Moondogs tonight at Riverfront Stadium. First pitch at 6:35. All right, let's take this time out. We'll get you a national sports update, VSiN action update, and a forecast. All coming your way. On the other side, Sean Keeler, Denver Post sports reporter and columnist, joins us next. We're talking Major League Baseball and a whole lot more. Everything that's trending with Sean next right here on a Wednesday edition of Cole & Company on The Fan.
Now, your national sports update on The Fan.
Here's Isaac Lowenkron.
Major League Baseball today suspended New York Yankees relief pitcher Jimmy Cordero for the rest of the season for violating the joint domestic violence policy. The Yankees added in a statement that they were, quote, fully supportive of the action. There is no justification for domestic violence, unquote. Today in Houston, Yiner Diaz hit two of the Astros' three home runs in a 6-4 victory over the Colorado Rockies. NBA earlier today, The Athletic reported Giannis Antetokounmpo had a cleanup procedure done on his knee a couple of weeks ago. Bucks head coach Adrian Griffin has since told the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel that Giannis, quote, had a routine surgery on his left knee and it went great. We expect him back ready to go in training camp, unquote. At Wimbledon today, Novak Djokovic won his second round match against Australia's Jordan Thompson in straight sets.
Cyclone, Panther, or Hawkeye? Lock your radio right here on The Fan.
Summer is here, and it's time to get fit at the YMCA. Try one of the 40-plus fitness classes per week to get your heart rate up, burn some calories, and have fun. Let one of our certified fitness instructors lead you through a fun, motivational exercise routine that will meet your fitness goals through a variety of styles, strength, cardio, yoga, water, and more. Get fit at the YMCA, where we build strong kids, strong families, and strong communities.
Tommy's Express Car Wash in Waterloo offers you a car washing experience like no other. Download the Tommy Club app today, sign up as a member, and get the first 30 days free. You'll enjoy quick, affordable, and endless washes at any Tommy's location. Plus, skip the line. Free mat washes and vacuums. Tommy's Express Car Wash. Fast, friendly, and convenient. Find Tommy's online, on Facebook, or in person on University Avenue in Waterloo. Tommy's Express Car Wash. It's your time to shine.
Athletes need to focus on the game. That's why choosing a trusted and passionate care provider is so important. Dr. Jeffrey Clark at the University of Northern Iowa is committed to quality care. Dr. Clark is the medical director and head team physician for the UNI Panthers. He provides care to athletes, including the Cedar Falls Tigers, and helps people in Eastern Iowa return to an active lifestyle, specializing in sports medicine, less invasive anterior hip replacement, and total knee replacement. Same-day appointments, no referral needed. Visit ClarkOrthopedics.com.
This is Brent Musburger's VSiN Action Update on 1650 The Fan.
The best way to start betting smarter is to sign up for a free VSiN subscription at vsin.com/subscribe. That's vsin.com/subscribe.
All-star Justin Steele on the mound for the Chicago Cubs today. He's 9-2 with a 4.43 ERA. Cubs minus 145 at Milwaukee plus 135. Adrian Hauser for the Brewers, 8.5 under the total at American Family Field. The Cardinals are minus 105 today at Miami. Miami the slight favorite at minus 115, 9 under the total at Lone Depot Park. White Sox, $1.15 dog at home with Lance Lynn on the mound against the Blue Jays, minus 125, 9 over the total. Russell Henley, 14-1 to win the John Deere Classic at TPC Deere Run. Mike Sennett, 1650 The Fan.
I'm meteorologist Megan Mulford with your weatherology forecast. Lows dip down to about 54. Tonight, under clear skies, northwesterly winds 8 to 15 miles an hour. Clear skies again tomorrow, highs around 76. Tomorrow night, lows level off around 52. Mid-70s Friday, with a chance for scattered showers. Turning warmer Saturday, with highs in the upper 70s. Chance for showers continues. With your weatherology Cedar Valley forecast, I'm meteorologist Megan Mulford. Right now, it's 78.
Cole and Company on 1650 The Fan.
You know, every time I hear this song, I just immediately think of the movie Days of Thunder with of course, Tom Cruise and Robert Duvall as his crew chief. I love me some Robert Duvall. And as we welcome in Sean Keeler, Denver Post sports reporter and columnist, former longtime Des Moines Register sports columnist, follow him on Twitter, at Sean Keeler. Sean Keeler, can you say the same thing that when you hear that song that you think of Gimme Some Lovin' and Days of Thunder and Robert Duvall?
I like Days of Thunder, but I don't think of that when I think of that song. So
I love
Stevie Winwood. I love Spencer Davis Group.
Yes.
I went through a Spencer Davis Group / Traffic phase in college in the late 90s. I really did. My fraternity brothers have nightmares about Stevie Winwood because I would be blaring it at all hours doing, like, when other kids are playing Spin Doctors and, like, Gin Blossom. I'm cranking Traffic and, like, Low Spark of High Heeled Boys and Dear Mr. Fantasy at about 11 out of 10. I was not healthy.
Well, I would have been right there with you for whatever the hell that's worth. So you got that going for you, I guess?
Which is nice.
Yes, which is nice. All right, I want to talk a decent amount of baseball while I got you today. And we were talking on the phone during the break there about how we're both trying to enjoy some time away from work. And now here I am. I'm back here. And this tweet I had seen, it was between 2002 and 2023 in Major League Baseball. And it was documenting the percentage of nine-inning games that lasted three or more hours. And I don't know if maybe you've seen this, but for example, it starts in 2002, 35% of Major League Baseball games in 2002 lasted three or more hours. High watermark, you go all the way to 2021, just two seasons ago, Sean, it was at 67%. For example, in like 2012, go back a little over a decade, it was at 42% lasting three or more hours. You know what that percentage is at in 2023 with the pitch clock and pace of play initiatives?
It's going to be below 38 easily because it's way down here in Denver, way down.
It's 9%.
Yeah, way down. That shocked me.
And man, I tell you what, I knew it would be lower, you know, kind of like what you got out there with your guesstimation, but this got me to thinking, if you really know the story behind these new rules in Major League Baseball, Theo Epstein has been the guy who's been at the front of this. He just hasn't, you know, taken any publicity for it, and I don't know if that's because...
He's taken some publicity.
A little bit, but Manfred's the one out there.
I watched Theo Epstein do color on a Charlotte Knights game last year when they were doing on MLB Network.
Really?
YouTube TV still, yeah, when YouTube TV, or maybe he was guesting. Anyway, they were showing off the automated strike zone. MLB Network doing a smart thing and showing off what was coming on one of the minor league games. And frankly, I think MLB Network should have more minor league games. I also think, as a YouTube TV subscriber, they should be back on YouTube TV, but that's a whole other show. You and I are unhealthy baseball people who as therapeutic as on-air chat sounds, it's worse and weirder off-air, folks,
yeah,
in terms of baseball nerds getting together. But no, it doesn't. So, yeah, they've been out there. And Theo is kind of, you know, Kennesaw Mountain Epstein, I call him. You know, he's kind of changed the game for better or for worse.
Hey,
but
hold on.
To your point, they saw something that the consumers didn't like, and they addressed it. And now we have kind of the extreme. And in Colorado, it's really been extreme because now everybody's going home less drunk, and they have to sell beers later and on down the line.
I don't think I'm being hyperbolic to suggest that, okay, Theo Epstein pretty much saved the Red Sox. He broke the curse there. He pretty much saved the Cubs, broke the curse there, and now he's going to save Major League Baseball.
Well, saving it, what I haven't seen is, and we're going to get out of it, we're at the break and coming up to the break and the All-Star game, what the ratings and or tangible numbers look like compared to previous years. Although that metric, since we're baseball people talking metrics, gets harder and harder to compare in context in a streaming world that wasn't there even 5 years ago.
Yeah.
When I see the attendance and I see the ratings and I see the socials, I'll judge then if it's air quote works, or if I see in a couple years the average age of the fan base dropping closer to your age and away from mine.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm getting older and the median keeps going. I keep being the median. I can't keep being the median of your audience.
No.
I don't want to tell you how close to 50 I'm pushing, but really, really close. And you are on the baby end. And they need to get that number as good as the trimming the times and speeding up the game and adding action to the game have been. Again, I'm okay with pitch clock. I'm not crazy with the man-for-man ghost runner. I'm not crazy with taking away Rugies and Lugies and some of the bullpen requirements. I don't mind games that get extended by La Russa in your bullpen. I don't hate TLR for all things. I just hate him at 80 managing my baseball team.
Yeah, fair.
But yeah, I think the proof is going to be 5 years down the line when we see what some of the other metrics in terms of audience feedback come back on. But yeah, I have both attended Rockies games and covered them, and it's going faster here, and it's a little bit alarming. You know, Rockies ninth innings used to be a thing, and it was a running joke that you'd have these two-hour games and then 45-minute ninth innings because Coors, you know, there's a line about the great Pikes Peak International Hell Climb as an auto racing nerd. I'm an auto racing nerd, too, Cole.
I grew up in a NASCAR house.
And there you go. Yeah, well, I'm a liberal auto racing fan, so that subset is about six people.
Yeah.
So it's me and five other guys, basically. And then you put that group in White Sox fans, it's three. It's like three people in the universe, of which I am one. And when we all go, no one will miss us. So, yeah, but the Pikes Peak Hill Climb is fabulous. It's the second oldest race in America. I've become a big fan of that. I don't know if I go and watch it all the time because watching rallying is crazy. But there's a lie about it. The mountain decides. Coors Field decides. And right now, Coors Field gets you out of there in 2:40, and that's a good 20 minutes off what it usually did. So, yeah, it's a tangible thing.
And you put it in only words that you can, but long story short, in 5 years, we'll see what what the tail of the tape is with this. I on another baseball note, I really like that recent column you had about the hailstorm at Coors Field and how there was just in some Keeler special way he's able to tie this into what it means for the Monfronts and their just seeming incapability to put a contender together. And, you know, the two guys that were up in the cheap seats that you feature in the story, explaining how, hey, man, like the fans show up, like they know the fans show up, and albeit not at the same level, but still, this is like, I'm a part of a growing segment of Chicago Cubs fans that go, well, the Ricketts family knows that, like, good, bad, or indifferent, fans are showing up to Wrigley Field. It's not just a Rockies thing. It's not just a Cubs thing. It's not just a Major League Baseball thing. It's a place that makes you so uncomfortable if you are a fan that has made yourself, you know, to use a nowadays word, woke to this. If you are aware of this as a fan, like, it's a tough place to be when you're like, man, I wish we would spend a little bit more. I wish we would be in these trade rumors, so on and so forth. But ownership knows that the gravy train's going to roll no matter what.
Cole, you know what you're describing. Now, this is an old man saying this to his little nephew.
You know
what you're describing now. You're describing the Cubs experience under the Tribune Company. You're describing the Cubs experience for generations.
How dare you?
And the Cubs experience prior to Theo.
How dare you?
Prior to actually... that's not a knock, it's a fact.
Well, don't leave Sam Zell out of it while we're at it.
Right. Prior to actually saying to expletive with it, what if we actually tried to be revolutionary and didn't take for granted that this place is going to be 92 to 105% full of buses from Cedar Falls and Cedar Rapids.
Yeah.
And every tourist is coming here because Coors Field is the same thing. It is Wrigley Field, 1992. If we win, great. If not, there's Harry. Let's sing, let's get drunk, and let's have a good time. That is the Coors Field experience. They had the Tigers here in this homestand that ended. I think, and I'm just going off the top of my head because you're coming off vacation. I'm just on it. Folks, I'm doing this on vacay time because that's how great Cole is.
Sean, that's how great Sean is, everybody.
No. Because for him, I jam to do baseball therapy on air. I'll do that for free. Not that I don't do it all for free anyway. No, but they averaged something like 42,000 over the fourth weekend here.
Holy cow.
For Tigers Rockies. Crap on crap.
Wow.
Why? Because they come for the fireworks for two nights.
Yep.
And to get blitzed. In a beautiful ballpark in a sketchy part of town, but a beautiful ballpark and an experience. And with the lot, again, as deja vu, as a child of the 80s, I grew up so many Cubs fans like yourself and just kind of watching and shaking my head. The disinterest of the Tribune Company that way was part of the reason I became a White Sox fan. Now, that was a mistake because I didn't see the deal that Jerry Reinsdorf and Kenny Williams signed with Beelzebub in 2005 to sell their souls and everything for the most impossible World Series team to ever come together.
Yeah, you said
never
it.
Never come ever again. The greatest fluke. Who if this Leicester City is the greatest fluke of all time?
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe, but I'll tell you what, the 05 White Sox right up there. They are, and in hindsight now, you can back at that and go, God, we're 18 years removed. Yeah, there was one Hall of Famer and he didn't play. It was not a great
Sean,
team in context.
Sean,
not a legend.
When you said they come here to watch the fireworks, they come here to get blitzed, it just made me think about loosely quoting Harold and Kumar Go to White Castle. And saying, have you ever tried to watch Rockies Tigers not high? Boring as hell.
Yeah. And the funny thing is, it's kind of the minor league experience is what we're describing.
The Rockies are.
I know it's the Cubs. It's painful. I know the Rockies are a minor league experience at major league price. It's remarkable. Dick Monfort. The other owners, I think they like, Red Pitt, they're okay, politics, I'm sure they love it.
Yeah.
Okay, but they love Dick Monfort. Dick Monfort is the Mike Trout of Major League Baseball owners. They just go, I want what you have.
Yeah.
You're great.
Uh-huh.
You're awesome. If some other all-star name gets pulled, it's coming to Denver. They love Dick Monfort. Rob Manfred loves Dick Monfort because he makes making a profit
this is not
without
good.
Much effort look easy.
Go
and
read.
It doesn't matter to you or I, but it matters to them.
Go read it, everybody. DenverPost.com. You can find that column and all of Sean's great work. Hey, man, I got to run. Thanks so much. Appreciate you.
All right, therapy's over. See you, buddy. Bye-bye.
Therapy's over. There it is. Sean Keeler, kind enough to join us while he's on vacation. Denver Post sports reporter and columnist. All right, got to get to this next break. We'll come back. We'll have Wapsie Valley High School baseball coach Tom Jakin previewing tonight's district quarterfinal against Janesville next, right here on The Fan.
This is sports on Radio Iowa. I'm Todd Kim. Practice rounds continue at the PGA Tour's John Deere Classic near the Quad Cities. George McNeely reports.
1 year ago, JT Poston led each of the four rounds on the way to his second career tour title.
I feel like I'm getting really close to playing really good golf and contending again. So hopefully, maybe John Deere will be the week.
More than half of the top 100 players in the FedEx Cup Chase have committed to teeing it up here this week at TPC Deer Run. From the John Deere Classic, George McNeely, Silvis, Illinois.
Iowa State defensive back T.J. Tampa has been named to the preseason All-Big 12 football team. Tampa started all 12 games for the Cyclones a year ago in being named second team All-League. Baseball, the Iowa Cubs continue a series at home against St. Paul tonight. In the Midwest League, Cedar Rapids hosts the Quad Cities. This is Radio Iowa.
Naloxone can help you save someone's life. If you know someone that takes pain medication, or they have prescription narcotics and there are young children in the home, or they use drugs that include opioids, an overdose could happen. Naloxone could save their life. Naloxone is a nasal spray, and it is easy to use. You can get Naloxone for free from many local pharmacies. So ask your pharmacist about getting Naloxone, and be prepared to save a life. A message from Iowa HHS.
Some people won't give you the real talk on drugs. But it's time we know the facts. Fentanyl is killing people. It's a powerful opioid, often made illegally and commonly mixed with illicit drugs. It can even be pressed into counterfeit pills that resemble prescription medications. Just 2 milligrams, about the size of a few grains of sand, can potentially be lethal. This isn't an ad to scare you, but it is an ad to make you think twice. Get the facts. Go to realdealonfentanyl.com. This message is brought to you by the Ad Council.
Tickets to the Gallagher Blue Dorns 23-24 season are on sale now. I'm Steve Kerrigan of the Gallagher, and I'd like you to join us for great comics like Kevin James and Tom Papa. Great Broadway with Mean Girls, Annie, and Come From Away. Great bands with the music of Queen, the Eagles, Grammy Award-winning country artist Leanne Rimes, and so much more. Tickets are available online at gbpac.com, by phone or in person at the Gallagher's temporary ticket office at the Strayerwood Theater. Buy your tickets now before the best seats are gone.
Doug Burgum is the business leader and conservative governor we need as our president. Doug is a lifelong hunter, raised in a small farming town.
I grew up in a tiny town in North Dakota. Woke was what you did at 5 a.m. to start the day. Our country needs a regular American with small town values in charge.
At the top of those values, the Second Amendment, Doug Burgum is A-rated by the NRA. Because he protects gun rights. A lot of politicians talk guns, but Doug Burgum grew up with both his mom and dad as hunters. He is a lifelong hunter and outdoorsman. Doug Burgum doesn't just talk the talk on the Second Amendment, he walks the walk.
I'm Doug Burgum, and I approve this message. Paid for by Doug Burgum for America.
Now, back to more Cole & Company on the Cedar Valley Sports Leader, 1650 The Fan.
Welcome back to a Wednesday edition of Cole & Company here on The Fan. And folks, it's already here, the high school baseball and softball postseason. We've got a number of teams in action tonight in the metro, in the surrounding area. And one game that we're going to check in on right now on the show is you've got Wapsie Valley facing off against Janesville. It's a Substate 3 District 6 quarterfinal tonight.
and Wapsie Valley High School baseball coach Tom Jakin, kind enough to join us on this Wednesday edition of the show. Coach Jakin, thanks so much for being here. How are you today?
Thanks for having me. I'm doing good.
Well, hey, you guys have had a really nice season at Wapsie Valley, 23-12, 8-4 in conference play in the East Division of the North Iowa Cedar League. So just look back over that body of work over the regular season, Coach, and tell us what did you like most about your team?
I tell you what, we're starting to hit the ball, and I like the depth of our pitching staff. We've got 6 or 7 kids we feel real comfortable with going out there and getting on the rubber. The bats are coming alive. We're one of the better defenders right now. We've really grown our defense here middle to the end of the season, and we're ready to go tonight.
When you talk about the team improving offensively, can you put your finger on what's gone into that? Because something that, you know, talking to high school baseball and softball coaches since before the season began, doing this for years now, there's so little practice time. It's unlike any other sport at the high school level in the state. So can you put your finger on the thing or the things that have gone into the offensive improvement?
I think one thing is I've got a real nice assistant coach that really stressed, you know, coming early, coming before the game and really working on your hitting. Kids have bought in a little bit, and we've done that here, you know, middle of the season to the end, and kids are buying in, and we're really hitting the ball nice right now. And one of the things I've always preached is, you know, if your parents are going to buy you an expensive baseball bat, you might as well go up to the plate and swing it.
Yeah.
And I'm not a guy that's really going to preach, you know, going up there looking for a walk. You know, I want my kids swinging the bat, and that's the way it's always been here at Wapsie in my 10 years.
Any particular areas outside of the offense, Coach Jakin, that you and your staff maybe kind of circled the wagons at some point this regular season and go, okay, we're playing good baseball, but if we sharpen up a little bit here or a little bit there, we're going to be that much tougher to beat when the postseason rolls around?
Our corner infielders, first and third, we're struggling a little bit at the beginning of the year. I think they're coming around now quite a bit and playing really good ball, and that's one area we kind of really stressed a little bit there. And obviously we've solidified some pitchers in our rotation, and I think that the pitching's come a long way too.
Wapsie Valley High School baseball coach Tom Jakin, our guest right now on this Wednesday edition of Cole & Company. They take on Janesville tonight in a district quarterfinal. We'll talk about that matchup with Coach here in a little bit. So, Coach, you've talked about, hey, the offense has improved. We made some improvements in terms of stabilizing the pitching staff, some work on the defense. What has that led to in terms of a blueprint? Like, what does Wapsie Valley baseball look like this season when your team is playing at its highest level?
I tell you, when we score early, we're tough to beat. I think that is a key in tonight's game. It just puts takes a lot of pressure off a little bit. And when our pitchers come out and they really throw strikes early on is another sign of our team just gaining momentum throughout the game.
On another note, Coach, something that stuck out to me in doing my research on, you know, everything your team's accomplished this season, you're 110 for 116 in stolen bases. That's what the numbers say. That's roughly about 2.5 stolen bases per game. But the efficiency in which you've stolen bases, I mean, that's remarkable to me. What can you tell us about what's gone into a number like that, 110 out of 116 this season?
Yeah, I mean, we're a good stolen base team. We're probably not quite as good as we've been in the past, but I like the kids in certain situations. You're right, the percentage has been very good this year. We have faced a lot of good catchers out there, and, you know, I maybe haven't stolen as many as I would have liked in years past, just because I think the quality of catching out there is really good right now. The teams that we play, we schedule very strong. But I am very happy, and we've got 2-3 guys on the team, you know, that probably deserve a green light. They probably can steal about any time they want to on our team, but I probably hold the harness back a little bit, and we maybe could have stolen a lot more bases than we have this year.
Less is more sometimes, though, right?
That's right. That's right. We've only been thrown out, what, 6 times, I think you said there?
Yeah.
So I'm happy with that.
Yeah, I would imagine so. Digging in a little bit individually on your team,
Justice Kelly, Jackson Coolman, Mason Harder, Kane Schmitz, your four seniors. And it sure looks like all four of those guys really bring something to the table, to say the least. I mean, just tell us about those four, because if you're having a season like your Wapsie Valley team is, typically there's some seniors behind that success, and these guys certainly look to be those type of guys.
Yes. Justice Kelly, Jackson Coolman, those two guys have been hitting the ball very well, working on their game throughout the year. Justice had a phenomenal season. I think he's leading Class 1A in singles right now. I think he's tied with Tucker Lattenberg for, I think, second or third place in the state in Class 1A in hits right now. Mason Harder came out for baseball for us. He's a very polished football and basketball player. He's going to Upper Iowa to play football. He's really helped bring leadership to our team. And then Kane Schmitz has suffered a little bit of an injury for us, but he comes to every game and supports. And he got us three pitching wins earlier in the year, and I think he was our leader on our team in walks. And, you know, we've got four really nice seniors. We had a nice senior day, I think, a week ago, and it was just nice because they've been very important roles for our program.
A few more minutes here with Wapsie Valley High School baseball coach Tom Jakin on this Wednesday edition of Cole & Company. Coach, you mentioned earlier that you've gotten the pitching rotation stabilized. You've got depth on that pitching staff. And, man, I got to tell you, when I looked at the numbers and I see you got three freshmen and an eighth grader that are second, third, fourth, and fifth in innings pitched for your team this season, a lot of times you see something like that and you see a team that might be 500, you know, probably under 500 in most cases. But credit to these young guys, Blake Hesse, Hunter Curley, Garrett Shannon, Tyler Shore, the eighth grader. These guys have just produced at a high level. It's one thing to have a couple young guys do it. So what can you tell us? What's the secret behind these young guys being able to more than hold their own on the mound this season?
They've done very well for us. Lots of innings from those eighth and ninth graders. What stands out most to me is they've pitched a lot of travel ball growing up. They've kind of been the guy out there, and it's carried over. You know, a lot of them have had confidence, and they've done a very good job. They have really good breaking balls, too. You don't see too many eighth and ninth graders that have a nice polished breaking ball, and I think that adds to their game. And you tie in all those eighth and ninth graders with Tucker Lattenberg, and we've got a really nice pitching staff.
And you've got some of your upperclassmen are contributing heavily on the offensive side of things. Meanwhile, as we're talking about here, it's such a younger group of underclassmen with the pitching staff. What's that challenge been like for you as a coach? I mean, this isn't your first go-around. So, you know, have you had to kind of maybe be more of a sponge and know, you know, maybe it's kind of this way when it comes to coaching the offense versus maybe it's a little different because of the, you know, the difference in age with the large part of my pitching staff?
Yeah, I would say we played some fall ball and spring ball, and I got to know some of these eighth and ninth graders. Plus, I'm the junior high coach, so I've coached some of them seventh and eighth grade, and I knew what I was getting. So, yes, they are young, but I've been around a lot of them for, two, 3 years, even some of them since T-ball and coach pitch way down there, you know, when they were in first grade. So, but it's nice to know we have a good group of ninth and eighth graders coming up, and they really blend in nice with what we have for upperclassmen.
When it comes to preparing for postseason play, Coach Jakin, what have you found in your experience that is the best way to get your team prepared? Is it to keep everything as normal, as kind of like business as usual, or do you maybe do something in particular, be it physical or mental, with your team when the postseason rolls around?
I think the biggest thing is making sure the kids know that we're not overlooking anybody. We know we got a quality opponent in here, somebody that beat us a week ago. So that's one thing I've learned is you got to come ready to play every night, and you cannot overlook, because every team's got a good pitcher or two, and you got to be ready. I think we learned our lesson last year. We thought we'd roll in as the two seed and play the seven seed Hudson. We had beaten them in the regular season by a score of 20-1, and they came in and brought their ace, and we kind of overlooked them a little bit, and maybe not overlooked them, but we knew they had a good pitcher on the mound, and I think we can see that out of Janesville tonight. They got a couple pitchers they've saved for us. We can see it right on Varsity Bound that they're going to be the guys that are probably going to throw tonight,
mm-hmm.
and we're going to be ready for them. That's one thing that you got to be ready every given night in the playoffs.
And just to kind of expand on that, dig in a little bit on the matchup with Janesville, maybe something outside of the dynamic of their pitching staff versus your offense, another element to tonight's game that you think is going to be critical.
Well, I scouted them a little bit before our game the other night, and I was very impressed how they got down early and they fought back. And they have bats 1 through 9. I mean, I think their 9-hitter had a couple hits the other night, and you know, I'm seeing the 8-hitter contribute, and wasn't necessarily their 1 through 4 hitters that did good for them. I thought it was their bottom of the order, Janesville, that really impressed me, and how they didn't give up being down early.
Coach, thanks so much for your time today. Best of luck tonight, and we'll be following along with what's hopefully a deep postseason run for your Wapsie Valley baseball team.
Thanks a lot, Cole, and appreciate you having me on.
My pleasure, Coach. Take care.
All right, take care.
Wapsie Valley High School baseball coach Tom Jacob, kind enough to join us here on this Wednesday edition of Cole & Company. All right, Corn Country Fest coming up this weekend at National Cattle Congress Fairgrounds. It's from 3:30 to midnight, and you're going to have your favorite country hits from nationally acclaimed tribute artists performing as Waylon Jennings, Willie Nelson, George Strait, and Garth Brooks. And you can get tickets at corncountryfest.com, or you could score a free pair right now from yours truly. Before I go to break, dial 319-277-1918. Third caller is going to get it, 319-277-1918. A pair of free tickets to Corn Country Fest this weekend at the National Cattle Congress Fairgrounds. All right, we're back to wrap up the show right after this.
I'm Taylor Bisciotti with NFL Network Now on the Westwood One Radio Network. Dolphins receiver Jaylen Waddle led the NFL in yards per catch last season, and he says the reason is his quarterback, Tua Tagovailoa. Waddle tells a Houston TV station Tua knows, quote, where to place the ball so his receivers can catch it and run with it. Expect Christian McCaffrey to line up all over the field this season, according to Kyle Juszczyk. The Niners fullback says head coach Kyle Shanahan is treating the all-pro back like a, quote, shiny new toy in their first offseason together. The Super Bowl champion Chiefs and Lions kick off the season in just about 2 months. In Detroit corner, Jerry Jacobs says the Lions are already embracing their underdog role. Jacobs says his team is ready to, quote, shock the world. And some wonderful news from New Orleans. Saints tight end Foster Moreau says his cancer is now in full remission. Moreau was diagnosed with Hodgkin lymphoma in March. He's expected to be a full go for training camp. This has been NFL Network Now.
I can't believe she's making me move again. This better be the last time.
Caught in a move? Blue Line Moving and Storage has your back.
Honey, make sure you pack Grandma's china right.
Feeling overwhelmed? Let Blue Line Moving take over. Full service, local, and long distance moving.
If I have to pack one more box, I'm gonna...
Oh, and honey, pack the toilet paper last. It'll be the first thing we need.
Yes, honey.
Well, if I could only find the remote.
Request a free estimate at BlueLineMoving.com. Don't break your back. Let Blue Line Moving and Storage do the work.
I'm Dan Patrick, and this is Above the Noise. The Portland Trailblazers find themselves in a difficult predicament. On one hand, Dame Lillard is a 7-time All-Star coming off one of his greatest years. And on the other hand, the addition of Scoot Henderson gives Portland 3 young building blocks in their backcourt. The Blazers now feature Henderson, Anfernee Simons, and Shaedon Sharpe. As the team is currently constructed, it wouldn't necessarily be a shock to see the Blazers sneak into the playoffs. The young core has shown promise, and the team can still add some win-now pieces in free agency. But with the team still contemplating extending Jeremy Grant, a young roster in place, and Dame looking to compete for a championship, Portland will have multiple difficult decisions to make prior to the start of the season. Although it may be hard to part ways with the face of the franchise, Lillard turns 33 in July, and with so many teams still looking to make a splash, holding on to your most valuable asset in the hopes of a playoff run, that could be a dangerous game for the Blazers to play. I'm Dan Patrick, and this is Above the Noise. I just learned Discover credit cards do something pretty awesome. At the end of your first year, they automatically double all the cash back you've earned. That's right. Everything you've earned, doubled. All the cash back from eating at your favorite restaurant, doubled. All the cash back from that trip where you sort of learned to snowboard.
That's also doubled. And the best part? You don't have to do anything ridiculous to get it. No, Discover does it automatically. Seriously, though, see the terms and check it out for yourself. Discover.com/match. Worn out tires are a danger to you, your passengers, and other drivers. TireRack.com reminds you to inspect your tires regularly. Grab a quarter, stick it in the tread, and if you can see the top of Washington's head, it's time to replace. Go to my page, TireRack.com/Dan. Use the Tire Decision Guide to find the right tires for how and what and where you drive. Choose from the full lineup of Goodyear tires and tread confidently. TireRack.com. TireRack.com is the way tire buying should be.
You're listening to Cole & Company with Colbert. Follow Cole on Twitter at @RealColbert.
Yeah, welcome back for a final time on this Wednesday. Great to be back today. Cubs baseball coming up in a little over a half hour here on The Fan. It's game three of that four-game set in Milwaukee against the Brewers. Pre-game coverage begins at 6:35, first pitch at 7:10. The all-star Justin Steele on the bump tonight for the Cubs, who desperately need another win. Got to thank Sean Keeler of the Denver Post and Tom Jakin, Wapsie Valley High School baseball coach, for joining today's show. Have a great night, everybody. I am back tomorrow at 5.
You've been listening to Cole & Company, the Cedar Valley's maximum sports talk show. Heard afternoons from 5 to 6 on 1650 The Fan and the all-new 102 at 102.3 FM.